All right. Revelation 21, verse 7 and 8. We're still looking into eternity and seeing what what God has told us that awaits us in the future. All right, are you there? Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now that's one verse, very important. A lot of doctrine there. And in the next verse, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there's no fire in hell, I hear them say. No fire in eternity. What is that about then, right there? You see, the Bible tells us the truth, and people just don't. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the good time we've had together already, good Sunday school lesson, the good songs we've sang together. Lord, we thank you for the good word of God. Please bless it now and help us as we look at it. Lord, please give the understanding and help me to give it properly. I pray you would help us, Lord, today to be excited and encouraged about what's ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, what does it mean to overcome? There's a lot more verses in Revelation here that talk about the overcomer and the promises that are to those who overcome. And I'm not going to chase around that this morning. I'm just going to stay real simple about it. What is it? You know, what does it mean to overcome? What is he talking about here? Is it some mysterious thing? Nope, not at all, not at all. The dictionary says overcome means to conquer, to vanquish, to subdue, as to overcome enemies in a battle. That's what it means to overcome. It means to win. It means to get the victory. It means to come out the victor, not be defeated. That's what it doesn't mean. An overcomer is not a defeated one. He's not one that loses the battle. He's the one that wins. And that is in the end. And, of course, I want to say a little bit more about that in a minute. But it also means to surmount, to get the better of, as to overcome difficulties or obstacles, to overflow, to surcharge, to come upon, to invade. To overcome means to gain the superiority, to be victorious. So you get the idea. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. So we know what it means. And I want to talk about it just a little bit more because we got the basic definition, but now how does that apply here? What is he talking about? I mean, is it about certain battles? Is it about certain things? No. The use of this word here is to be understood as referring to our earthly life here and now. This is not something that's in the future. We're not going to just appear there because we made a little profession of faith and sin still dominated our life. And we never did get any victory here, but we're going to get victory there. Not the way it is, everybody. You ain't going to have no victory there unless you have victory here. In this life, in this dark, wicked world. Amen. If the Spirit of God living in you can't pull you out of the gutter here, it ain't going to deliver you in heaven someday by and by. It ain't going to happen. The preparation for heaven is here. We're getting ready to go. We're getting ready for eternity here. That's what salvation, sanctification, that's what all of God's working in our life is about. That's why we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us here. That's why we have the Word of God to read and to study and to increase our faith for. Here, God's given us everything. Jesus came to this world. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he lived his earthly life in the power and influence of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that's what we got. And he came out victorious, didn't he? When he said, "It is finished," on the cross, that means he won victory. And that's the way it is with us too. Our life should end the same way. We sing this song about, what is the song, you know, when he says, my hardest trials now are past, my triumph has begun. That's the overcomer. He ends his life in victory, not in defeat. He goes out of this world shouting the victory, praising God. Not weeping and mourning and crying, the blues and the defeat. Now, to overcome is to get the victory in this life while we journey through a world of sin. It's speaking of the sum of the life, not particular battles or struggles. Now, I want you to listen to me closely here because I'm going to modify this here in a minute. But that's what it really means. As we struggle and we navigate and fight our way through this life here on earth, we win some and we lose some. You win some battles and you lose some battles. Now that's part of it. We got to face that fact. Yes, we do. We don't live in habitual continual sin. And we don't, and it's not a thing that happens real often, but we do lose some battles sometimes. But a just man may fall seven times, but he, what does he do? He riseth up again. Yes, sir. He don't stay down. He gets up and goes on. It's not talking about us losing a battle and that we're not an overcomer because we lost one. No, it's what there's another one on the horizon. What about it? It's how you come out in the end. But he that overcometh, here is speaking of he that comes forth from his whole life as a victor. Now, I want you to think about that. I mean, this is what it's going to be when we stand before God here. And he says, to him that overcometh, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Are you an overcomer? Are you going to be an overcomer? When your life is said and done and your story is told and it's all summed up, did you win or did you lose? In the battle against evil, against yourself. Every war, every fight, every contest, it's always hard to call before it's completely over. Have y'all learned that? And no matter what it looks like, you better wait till you better not call it until it's over. Because I'm telling you what, every election's that way just about, ain't it? They call them ahead of time because of what they want and what they think. But sometimes it don't turn out that way. We got a bunch of people in this country awful sore because the last one didn't turn out like they imagined that it would, and like they really believed it would. They scoffed and mocked and laughed and scorned and made fun, and they lost. That's the way it is a lot of times. Every war, every fight, every contest, it's hard to call. One might look like he's sure to lose all the way through, but he comes out victorious in the end. The world has a little saying they use for that, the underdog. Don't look like there's no way he could ever win, and he wins. Yeah. That's the way it works sometimes. That's what we're talking about here. Better be careful about what you think of other people and how you judge as you go through life. Yeah. Because sometimes somebody's fighting awful hard and it looks like they're losing. But wait till it's over. Just wait till it's over. And then by the same token, many times it may appear to be impossible for this person to lose, but in the end, they are overcome and defeated. I mean, they've got everything going for them. It looks like they're on top of everything. Everything's working for them, and everything goes their way through the whole game until the very end, and then they lose out. And that's the way this thing is also. Let me tell you, sure is. Ask that thief on the cross about that. There's been a lot of others through the years that got in at the midnight hour. Jesus told a parable about those workers that he hired for a penny a day. Remember that? Some came at the 11th hour. They made it. So that's the way this thing works, see? It's how you end. It's not how, you know, how the race looks as it goes through. Now, it's important as far as our testimony and all of that, but I mean, I'm just saying to you, this is what's, these are the people who are going to be there, who are going to inherit all things, and it's those who overcome at the last. When you end this life, you better be an overcomer. And here's the deal. You could end, your life could end at any moment, any day, any week, any month, any year. You don't know. You don't know when your time is. So you better be ready. You better be fighting the good fight of faith, because that's how we overcome. That's how we're made overcomers. So it isn't the things, it isn't like all the things of your life, all your battles, all your good things and your bad things, all the times you won and all the times you lost. It ain't that you add them all up and then average it out and see if you've passed or failed. It's not like that at all. That's not what makes an overcomer. That's not how an overcomer is determined or identified. Sometimes in a contest, one may be defeated all the way through, but just before the end, the whole thing is turned around and he comes out the victor. Did you ever watch a fight? I think there's something in this is part of why that we like to see contests and fights and stuff. There's something about it that always kind of thrills you when the guy that's getting whooped down makes a comeback and wins. That's exciting, ain't it? Everybody likes that. That's a good fight if it happens that way. If you go in there and a little puny guy and the big guy just whoops up on him and leaves him in the floor all broken up and walks away, that ain't, nobody's very happy about that. It's when the little guy wins. It's when the weak one wins. It's when the one that looked like there was no hope for him wins at last. It's going to be that way. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of that here. Yep. A lot of people are going to say, all through your life, you're going to have little hope in people who are going to end up the victor in the end. And you're going to have a lot of hope in people as who you think are going to be the victor, who are going to be you're going to be disappointed. It'd be a great profit to you to learn that early on in your life, that you're just a poor judge of this matter from where you're sitting right now. Can't call it until it's over. No war, no fight, no game, no contest. And it's this way with these overcomers who inherit all things also. Now, we overcome by faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whosoever is whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We've got a song in our hymn books. It says, faith is the victory that overcometh the world. It came from this scripture right here. How do we overcome? By our own determination and our own grit and our own strength? No, no, no. You overcome the same way you got in, the same way you were sanctified, the same way that everything happens in your life as a Christian. It's by faith, by trusting God, by believing Him no matter what. That's right. You know, faith answers the question like Seth asked there in Sunday school or mentioned that skeptics ask about if God knew that men were going to sin and be lost. Why did he go ahead and create man and let all these people? That's what the skeptics' argument has been all through the ages. They say, well, if God is, he knows everything and he knew there was going to be evil, why did he do it in the first place? That makes him evil. That's their logic. But what they don't understand and what they don't consider is that God has so much more in mind than their little puny mind can even comprehend. It's the greater good. And what God is doing the good is going to far outweigh what is lost in all of this sinful world. Now, that's hard to imagine, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. Faith is the victory. We trust Him. You don't understand that if you don't have faith in God. You don't understand what I just said. You're looking at it from a worldly, carnal, earthly, human standpoint, and it don't fit with your logic. You count the loss more important than the gain because you don't see the gain. You don't see what is being accomplished through all of this. And then in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5, the next verse, after it says, faith is victory that overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to be an overcomer, a person must hear the word of God. And not just one time in their life they heard the word of God. No. They must listen to the word of God. You don't get saving faith without listening to the word of God. Hearing means listening and receiving. Not just you heard it one time. You heard a verse one time. That made you have enough faith to be saved. No, sir. Nope. Sorry. Not the way it works. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so to be an overcomer, we have to hear the word of God. Because faith is how we overcome. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Where does faith come from? Is that the gift of God? That's what most people believe. No, they've misinterpreted it again. If faith is a gift, why doesn't everybody have it? If faith is a gift, why is God keeping it from some people and giving it to others? It's not true. Faith is our response to the word of God, the truth. We hear, we believe. Only the hearers and the doers of the word will be overcomers who inherit all things in eternity. Only those. Now, what is it exactly that these people who inherit all things overcome? All right, we know now. I've been trying to be real, exact with this. What does it mean to overcome? It means to win the victory. It means to vanquish, to come out on top of things. Victorious. And how do we overcome? We overcome by faith, by believing God. And we have faith by hearing the word of God, what God says. So what is it exactly that we do? Overcome. What's he talking about? Well, the next verse explains it exactly. It's part of the context which explains what he means by being an overcomer. The very next verse says in verse 8, but the fearful, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, did he change subjects? Did he change gears? No. He's talking about the very same thing. The overcomers, what do they overcome? But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now it's obvious that this is describing what people are like who do not overcome. Overcome the world. Overcome themselves. Overcome their sin. Overcome their unbelief. Overcome their fears. When their life is best described by these words, there's no repentance and no turning from their sin before they die, they're not among those who have overcome. Now, that's just simple truth. Ain't nobody in the world, I don't know how anybody that knows anything about the Word of God could or would disagree with that. If this is what describes your life, fearful, unbelieving, abominable, whoremonger, liar, murderer, sorcerer. If that describes what your life is about, and there's no turning from it. Now, in Corinthians, we're told that such were some of you. But, what does it say? You're washed. You're sanctified. You're cleansed. You're made new. I mean, everything's, that's the way it used to be with you, but that's not the way it is now. What happened? You overcome. You overcame. How? You decided not to do it no more? No. You believed in Jesus Christ and were saved and delivered by faith in the Son of God. You turned from your sins. That's repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how salvation happens. Okay. He that overcometh must overcome his fear of standing for the Lord in this wicked world. I'm just going to run through these real quick. I ain't going to hammer real hard this morning, but I'm just going to go across these, and here we go. The fearful. It's always disturbed me that that's the first word mentioned, the first kind of people that the Bible would mention that are not going to be there, that are going to have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. I mean, my goodness. The very first one mentioned. He didn't mention whoremongers first. He didn't mention adulterers or murderers first. He mentioned the fearful. Fearful. The fearful. Well, how do you overcome? Come on now. Simple. I ain't tricking you. How do we overcome the world? By faith. By faith. By faith. How can you be fearful and faithful at the same time? How can you have faith in God and trust Him with your eternal soul and be fearful of things in this world? How can you do that? Can't do it. Can't do it. So it's no wonder that He mentioned that first. He that overcometh, he has to overcome his fear of standing for the Lord in this wicked world. He'll not only overcome the fear of being ridiculed and persecuted and being marginalized and ostracized by others. He'll overcome the fear of all things. Do you know where real courage comes from? Faith in God. That's where real courage comes from. Courage is the ability to overcome your fear. I've heard a lot of men mention it and reading and stuff about in warfare and battle. You think those guys ain't afraid? Oh, they're afraid. They're scared to death. But they somehow, they manage to just do it anyway. I've read Christian men. You know, you've read the story. I know most of you here read the story of Alvin York. How did he overcome? In his own testimony about it all. Well, he just believed God. He was sure that God had reassured him that he was coming back home. And so in his mind and his heart, the way he felt about it and believed about it as all, they couldn't kill him. So he did some of the most the most outlandish deal in the whole history of the military. What he did is still unbelievable. It was the most investigated thing that ever happened in the military and warfare and all of that of the United States, because it was so unbelievable what he did. To hear what happened there when he captured that whole battalion of Germans was just, it's just like, no, now come on, this is a fairy tale. Couldn't have been that way. He stood right up in the middle of them and shot 18 machine gunners right between the eyes before they could pull the trigger. Yeah. How'd he do it? How'd he overcome his fear? You think he wasn't something in him that was kind of shaky? Well, how do you overcome it? Faith in God. Simple, 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 simple. How can we fear and trust in the Lord at the same time? We're hearing now that over in China, I've been reading in the last few weeks here about over there, apparently they're really cracking down. The government's come out with this other thing now, and they're gonna sinicize the Chinese Christians and everybody else, every other religion except their Buddhism, and that's what it means. They're gonna inject Buddhism and Buddhism into and Confucius stuff, whatever that is, into the Christian church. I was reading this last week, and they're gonna, you know, their rules and regulations, they're gonna change the architecture of the church so there ain't any cross or anything like that. They have to, at the beginning of the service, they have to sing songs praising the Communist Party and all of this before they can sing their hymns of the church, which also have to be in agreement with the state and all of that. On and on and on. Now, if they were doing that here, well, how would you feel? Would you fear? Well, the fearful, it controls you, see? That's the thing. It overcomes you. There's no way that if somebody came in here with a gun that we wouldn't be afraid. We wouldn't feel fear. But if we just cower on the floor, then that's one thing. But when you just must overcome, you have to. You will, if there's faith in God in you. Here's what I read about the Chinese Christians. Now, let me just read this to you. Hundreds of Christian leaders in China signed on to a statement this month condemning the new regulations. They put their John Henry right on it, signed on. Here's my name. They're in communist China against the iron fist of the Chinese government. And they don't hide in little dark corners and wear costumes outside the church so they won't know they're Christians. They signed their name on hundreds of Chinese leaders. The preachers signed on to a statement this month condemning the new regulations. They point their finger at the government and say, "You are wrong. And we do not agree with you. And we are against you. The increased persecution and control the party is taking over the churches. We believe," this is what they said, this is the statement that they signed, "we believe and are obligated to teach all believers that all true churches in China that belong to Christ must hold to the principle of the separation of church and state and must proclaim Christ as the sole head of the church. For the sake of the gospel, we are prepared to bear all losses, even the loss of our freedom and our lives." That's overcomers. Yeah. They're saying, "I don't care what you do to me. We're prepared. I'm prepared to die. I'm prepared to lose everything I've got. I'm prepared to go to jail for the rest of my life. I will not bow to your God." So when we get to heaven, what do you reckon? Reckon there'll be some Chinese preachers standing in front of the line before these American celebrity guys? Jesus said this, he said, "Whosoever," in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, "whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I don't want him to be ashamed of me. If I want him to stand for me, I must stand for him. But we're afraid to so much in this world. We're threatened if we do. We know we suffer loss if we do. Yes, we suffer loss. Friends abandon us. People lie about us. People hate us without a cause. They refuse to have us in their company. But Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Yeah. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Same thing in all generations, same as it's always been. So you got to overcome your fear. The overcomers do overcome their fear. How do they do it? By just trusting in God, believing in God. These Chinese preachers and pastors over there, how can you, if you know Jesus, how can you turn against him when they say bow? They're suffering the same thing the Hebrew boys suffered. The king said, you got to bow to my image. And they said, well, we won't. I mean, you can just be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not bow. So they throw them in the fiery furnace. And not a one of them said, okay, hold it, all. No, sir. He that overcometh will get the victory over his unbelief also. Doubts and unanswered questions will vanish before he ever gets to see Jesus face to face. You hear me? You hear what I said? You're not going to have to wait until then before your unbelief is vanquished. You don't have to see him face to face. If it don't happen before then, listen, you're going to be in trouble. If you're hoping that your doubts and questions and unbelief, that's what it is. If you're hoping and you're banking on the fact that that'll all just vanish once you get to see him face to face, you're making a bad, fatal mistake. The unbelievers. That's what it says. But the fearful and unbelieving, they're going to have their part in the lake of fire. Not in inheriting all things. The overcomers overcome this. Yes, sir. He that overcometh will get the victory over his. The doubts and fears and all that's going to disappear. When he has the victory, his eye will be single. And he'll not be double-minded anymore. He won't have two views. He won't be torn between two. He won't have something he's hanging on to. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about all these people. It says, well, I've just got some questions. I've got some things, you know. I've met a lot of people like that. They won't believe because they've got this. And it's just unbelief. It's just doubt. And they're not really interested in finding answers to those questions. What was it that somebody said the other day about unbelief? I wish I could pull that up in my broke computer up here. But I mean, it was a good question. It's not a good statement. And it showed what unbelief really is. It's not just a passive, you know, it's a vile sin against God. It's refusing to accept him. That's what it is. It's refusing. It's not just that you can't help it because you don't understand and you got questions. No, that's not it at all. It's rebellion against God. You'll believe if you'll hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People, I've never met anybody, not without any exception, I've never met anybody in my life that's got all these questions and doubts that they just can't work out and they can't believe and who will go to church and listen to the word of God. They won't do it. They won't darken the door of a church. And if they do, it's just a passing thing. They ain't going to let the word of God work on them. I guarantee you, you bring an infidel in and let him sit where somebody's preaching the word of God, and if he will listen, God will get to him. The word of God will do it. But they won't allow themselves to do that. And people sit in the church pews and do the same thing and they can't overcome. Faith that overcomes puts God in such a high place in our life that we become very sensitive. Well, I'm sorry, I've jumped over. No, I haven't. I'm right in the right place here. He that overcometh will not be abominable. That's the next one there.
Now, all of us would be abominable in God's sight if we didn't get victory over the sin in our lives. Because sin is abomination to God. All of it is. There are certain things that he names, particular sins that are particularly abominable. But the abominable are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Can you accept the fact about yourself that you would be abominable in the sight of God were it not for your faith in him and the victory over your sin that you hopefully experience right now? That's what's so wrong with all this sin and religion and this claiming to be sinners all the time and this wallowing in it and self-pity about it and this making church a support group for sinners instead of a place where the gospel's preached and the victory's proclaimed. It's abominable to God. Well, the abominable are not. They're going to the lake of fire. They're not going to inherit everything. You're going to get the victory over that in your life here. You're not going to be abominable in the sight of God. And my. Faith that overcomes God in such a high place in our life that we become very sensitive about being offensive or repulsive in his sight. You care what God thinks about what you do, what you wear, what you say, what you look at, what your attitude is. You care what God thinks, and you're sensitive about it, and you seek to know. You don't run from it. Those who willfully do things that the Word of God describes as abominable, they're not overcomers. Don't fool yourself, and have no present hope of eternal life, but are in danger of eternal damnation. You hear me? Now, there's some things that the Bible calls abomination. Real plain. Cross-dressing is abomination. That's right. Now, you just do that. You just go right ahead and do it and defiantly. How in the world can you entertain any hope, really? How can you tell me how you can entertain any hope of inheriting all things when he said, "He to him that overcometh." But the abominable are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Two verses here right together tells you just as plain as day. And he says, this is an abomination in the sight of God. And you say, I'm doing it anyway. I don't care what you think, what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what everybody thinks. I'm doing it. You think you're going to get to heaven? Sodomites are an abomination to God. He says it very plainly. And they think they're going to heaven too. They try to make themselves believe that. But what kind of a depths of deceit and darkness do you have to be in to believe such as that? Those who willfully do things are facing eternal damnation. Now, he that overcometh will not be a murderer. And there's a lot more to this than it seems to the casual reader here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Would you listen to this? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. The Bible is consistent all the way through. Liars, murderers, abominable, unbelieving, fearful. All of this, those are the people whose lives are described by those words are going to the lake of fire. It's the old timers had it right. Sinners go to hell. That's right. And if you don't want to go to hell, you better get saved from your sin. And when you get saved from your sin, you stop doing those things. You can't describe a child of God who's got the Spirit of God living in him. You can't describe him as an unbeliever, as fearful, as a whoremonger, as abominable. That doesn't describe him at all. Not in the sight of God. And it ain't that he's still that way, but God just looks at him through the blood of Christ, and that hides all that stuff. What a idolatrous thing from hell. That is not true. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin.
That's a whole lot different than an invisible cloak.
All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 22, Jesus said this, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Again, no fire in hell. What's that mean then? Hell fire. Now there's a progression in the words of Jesus there. And I mentioned this preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know how many of you would remember or not, but but there's a progression here. And this is what it means. To be angry with somebody is to be exasperated and impatient with them. Now think about this. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. But now, if you're just impatient with them and exasperated with them, Jesus says you're in danger of the judgment just by being that way towards somebody else. And it's connected with murder. You see, murder is when you can just destroy a life, just put his lights out. Bang! That's it. It means nothing to you. How can you murder somebody unless you esteem their life as worthless? You have no esteem, no nothing for them. You want them dead. That means you hate them. Hatred leads to that. This is the road to hatred, when you don't have any patience with somebody, when you're exasperated with them and you just, oh. To say raca is to esteem them worthless. That's what the word means. You are worthless. Well, when you get that kind of opinion and feeling towards somebody, you ain't far from murdering them. Because you don't count their life as anything. You think they're nothing but an aggravation to you and a nuisance, and you're out of patience with them, and they're worthless. And we talk about people like that, don't we? We use that kind of language talking about people. They're just worthless. And when Jesus said, you're in danger right here of the judgment, you're in danger, number two, of the council. I mean, you're really pushing the limit here. Overcomers don't do this. Overcomers are not murderers. No. And Jesus is defining murder. You understand what I'm saying here? Ain't none of us here this morning, I don't guess, ever killed anybody. But we've sure done everything but. I mean, we've went as far as we can go with it without pulling the trigger. Yeah. Or poisoning them or something. Because we've esteemed them lightly. We're out of patience with them. We think they're worthless. And then to say to them, thou fool, means to say, it means shut up, you're stupid. You're worthless, you're stupid. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to think about you. Get away out of my... You see? That's what Jesus is saying here. And he equates that with murder. You've heard it that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, this is what I just explained to you. You understand? So a murder. Overcomers are not murderers. All right. This is spoken by Jesus in the context of murder. And to count another person's life as worthless and stupid and have no patience with them is equated with murder by the Lord himself. So then we ought to be very careful, shouldn't we? Don't you think that overcomers, if you're going to be an overcomer there in that time, what's it going to be here? See, you weren't made an overcomer there. You were made an overcomer here by faith in God. How can you love God and hate your brother? Can't do it. You're going to have a different attitude toward people. You're going to be an overcomer. You're going to have to love people, and you're going to have to be patient with them and forbearing with them and long-suffering with them, like God was with you, like God is with you, like God always has been with all men. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. That's God. But that all should come to repentance. And we,
If we're an overcomer, we're going to have the same attitude. You're going to get to the point in your life sometime. If you're born of God, you're going to overcome that stuff. You're going to overcome that impatience, that hatred, that haughty attitude toward other people. You're going to care for their soul. And you're just going to be the kind of person that just never gives up on somebody.
He that overcometh, overcomes the tendency of his own selfishness and pride in his attitude toward others. The true overcomers are people who love others here and are patient with them because they esteem them as an eternal soul that must not be lost, whatever the cost.
Yep. Some save as pulling them from the fire.
All right, now, an overcomer will not be a whoremonger. I'm going to hurry here. I'm not going to park here because this word's self-descriptive. It means just what it says. A person who has not put their own lust in subjection to the law of God has not overcome anything and has no reason to expect to be in heaven one day. No matter what his position in the church is, no matter what his position in life is, no matter what his reputation is outwardly, the whoremonger don't have any hope, really. And he's not an overcomer. The overcomers are not sorcerers, it mentions here. Well, let me say a few things here. The word means, does anybody know what it means? What does sorcerer mean?
Drugs.
Drugs, yes. Sorcerer is a pharmacist. That's what the dictionary says. Druggist. It also means a magician. A spell caster. It has to do with witchcraft. We know, we think of a sorcerer, we think of like a male witch. That's what I've always thought, but it's a female witch too. Witchcraft is sorcery. It's mixing up potions and doing things and casting spells through incantations and things. And what are they all meant to do? They're meant to put a curse on. That's what we mostly think of because it's evil. And so we think of their negative things. You know, we've got this picture of a witch with a black pointy hat and a big long nose with a wart on it. And she's got a black cape on and she looks evil. And she's always going to do something to hurt somebody, to cast a spell on them, an evil spell. But that's not the way they look at it. You know, they look at it as if they're helping people with their drugs. We can make you feel good. Oh, yeah. They're not all about just making you feel bad and poisoning people. They're about helping you feel good. Giving you something that'll change your mood, change your emotion, change your feeling, make you feel good. Oh, yeah. Take you on a trip. Make you see things that are wonderful.
The word means druggist. The people who take drugs, you now listen closely to what I'm saying here. People who take drugs as recreation to alter their mood or emotional state are sorcerers.
That means pot smokers are sorcerers. Yes, sir. Why do you smoke weed? Because it makes you feel so good, right, man? Makes you dumb as a rock, but makes you feel like you're smart. Or just don't care. Don't care.
Yet people who sell drugs to other people to alter their mood. And I said that about pot because we're living in a society now, in a culture where everybody's accepting it now.
And it's always been the gateway drug. You smoke pot and then you go on to other things. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever known anybody that just smoked pot that didn't do something else too. Because there's just more to be had. I mean, when you do that and it feels so good, try this, man. What is all this about lacing marijuana with ecstasy and all these other things, huh? Meth? What's that about? More high. More. 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 Don't tell me there ain't nothing wrong with just smoking pot. It's sorcery.
Yes, sir.
All right? People who sell drugs to other people to alter their mood, emotions, or the state of their mind are sorcerers. Drugs are, this is a dictionary definition, drugs. Any substance, vegetable, animal, or mineral which is used in the composition or preparation of medicines. All right? Now, he that overcometh is going to be wise in this battle also, because I see a lot of people not being wise about this. They're hypocritical in it as much as people are hypocritical in the rest of religion. They'll be against pot smokers and meth cooks and all of that, but then they'll turn to some other thing to achieve the same thing that these people are doing with their drugs. All right? He'll not even be looking for things besides alcohol and synthetic drugs to make him feel good. Now, y'all better be careful about all of these herbs and oils and everything else when it starts getting to the point of where you do it just so it'll make you feel good. Yes. You're doing the same thing. It's the same thing. And many who call themselves Christians are really disciples of these sorcerers who are pushing a different kind of drugs. Miracle herbs and oils and alternative medicine and stuff. That's, you know, have you ever noticed how people become disciples of that? They don't just, you know, it's not. And I know, I'm not stupid. I know that there are herbs that'll help you. God gave herbs for the service of man. Yes, sir. But there's a big difference between medicine and between using drugs to answer every problem. And drugs are what? They're any substance, vegetable, animal, or mineral, that are used to do this stuff with. I know people who are drug addicts who get it from the pharmacy every time they get it. I've watched people as they get older, and I know, I mean, dad's got to have his medicine, what he takes. I know that. But I watch people as they get dependent on it, and a lot of it they don't need, but they think they got to have it. Yeah. They think they're going to die if they don't get it. You remember that show the other day when that old woman was, she thought she would die if she didn't get those pills, and they weren't nothing but sugar pills. There was nothing to them at all, no medicine at all, but it was in her mind. See, and that's what I'm talking about here. That's what sorcery does. It affects your mind. And so, there's not going to be any sorcerers who are overcomers. Now, that's what I just read in the Bible. He said that to us, and so that's a big deal in life. We're living in a drug age. Boy, I'm telling you, there's a pill for everything. They want to give you something for everything, and you know, it's just what I just said. We're not stupid, and we're not fanatical, and we're not crazy about everything. There's times when you got to have something. I mean, I know that there's diseases and stuff that can be corrected with medicine. But you don't have to have a table full of pills to take every day. And I will not allow that to happen. When that little deal happened back in April with my deal, I came home with $300 worth of pills. And you know how much of them I took? None. Well, the one I took for a week, because it had to do with, you know, softening up things so the stone would pass and all that. But all the pain medicine and all, I never took one of them. Bottles and bottles and bottles of pain medicine. And you get hooked on that. Is that a big problem nowadays? People get addicted to that? Yep. So, no, not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. Nope. We're overcomers by faith in God, not by faith in sorcerers or sorcery. We overcome by faith in God. I think you ought to go to the great physician first. Yeah. I do. I really do. Overcomers are not idolaters. I'm going to hurry here. Those who truly have saving, sanctifying faith in Jesus Christ will not be swept away with the idolatry of this last generation. With their single eye of faith, they can see through the shallow, meaningless evil of this modern kind of worship and see it for what it is. It's pure idolatry.
Now, I'm going to just say it right straight up to you, all you kids and you young people and everything here, all this idolatrous, modern, contemporary worship, if you get entangled in that, you are not an overcomer. Amen, amen. Because it is idolatry. And if you don't have enough faith in God because you won't read and listen to the Word of God enough, then you're not going to overcome and you're not going to see through all that evil and you're going to be swallowed up in it. These people, these idolaters, are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Overcomers are not liars. And it's one of the most grievous things to me when I encounter people who claim to be saved and on their way to heaven, but who can still drop a lie whenever they need to. If you're lying in your dying breath, let me tell you something, you're not going to be lying then with your tongue or your heart in your dying breath. You better start now. You better overcome. How in the world can you not overcome that if you have faith in God? All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Better have victory over a lying heart and a lying tongue before we stand before God in that day. Now let me tell you, you better have an honest heart before God and before men. All right, are you an overcomer? Are you this morning? Are you an overcomer? If you die right at this moment, would you be considered an overcomer? Or are you defeated? Do your fears, doubts, fleshly lusts, and the world's influence overcome you? How goes the battle with you up to this point? Are you the victor or the vanquished? And how do you think you'll come out in the end from where you are right now? Where you think you're at? How you think it's going to come out for you? Victor or vanquished? Are you going to fight the good fight of faith? Or are you going to run from your fears and unbelief into the arms of the world and the sins of your flesh? Now that's what this is about right here. Huh? You going to win? You going to fight? You going to fight the good fight of what? Faith. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. All right, let's stand. What about you? Do you know that? Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. Bible is the same all the way through. You trust in the Lord, you're going to overcome this world. Yes. Amen. It's good to know. All right, bow with me. We have a word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for everybody's here. Thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the good promises for the right here and now. Lord, the assurance that we have. That by just trusting you, by believing. And Lord, that's easy when we hear your word, when we read your word, when it's in our heart and mind and we know it. It's easy to believe and to trust in you. That one day we can stand before you and hear this, Lord, oh my. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And so many other promises to the overcomer. Help us, Lord. Help us to fight a good fight. Not yield. Not give up. Lord, when we do get knocked down, help us to get back up and keep on fighting. We will overcome. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh. That is a sure and certain thing. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being real to us. Thank you for the truth that we have in written form that we can look to
and that we can trust in. Please bless the word to our heart now in these truths in Jesus' name. Amen.